days referred to themselves as Baptists Together and the Southern Counties Baptist Association. And they both share the same mission statement: growing healthy churches in relationship for God's mission. Which is one of those sentences that obviously came out of one of those long meetings about what should our mission statement be, when you have to include all these things that everybody thinks of. It's a bit wordy and a bit complicated. But last week happened to be given a copy of the Baptist Times. I have to confess, 40-odd years in Baptist churches, and I don't think I've ever read a copy of the Baptist Times. But this one was quite an interesting read. And there was an article in it from Lynn Green, who's the General Secretary of the Baptist Union, talking about how the Baptist Union was trying to put that mission statement into practice. And she divided it into four areas of what the Baptist Union and Baptist associations are involved in. So that's pioneering and planting, equipping churches for mission, providing voices in the public square, and investing in godly leadership. To move forward in growing healthy churches. But there's an obvious question: is what is a healthy church? How would you define a healthy church? Well, fortunately, I was at a meeting a few weeks ago when Colin Norris, who's the team leader for Southern Counties Baptist Association, actually spoke about healthy churches. So I said to him afterwards, "Would you mind if I pinch your slides and use them to give a message?" And he was happy with that, which was very brave of him because he's got no idea what I might say. So when Colin introduced this, he did say that some of this was a bit of a stretch. Now, you'll understand what that means in a second, because what he did was he made a message out of the initials of the word healthy. So some of the points are a bit of a stretch in the sense that it's really hard to think of all the things that would fit into the word healthy. So this is what we're going to look at this evening. A healthy church is hospitably safe. It's engaged with communities. It articulates faith confidently. It has leader plurality. It engages in training and transformation of culture and practice. It is helping and being helped. And here's the biggest stretch of the all. You know, how do you get a why into this? Well, Colin came up with why, which is the symbol for Trinitarian God, in and through all ages and backgrounds. So that's a 7-point message. So that can't take too long, can it? I'm going to be much briefer on some points than on others. But starting at the top, hospitably safe. Jesus said in John 14:2, "My Father's house has many rooms." The place that Jesus went to prepare for his followers in heaven is a place that is hospitably safe. And churches need to be an example of that. Hospitably safe means something more than just welcoming at the door when people come to services. Being a place that is hospitably safe means that we're hospitably safe with people all the time, that they stay with us on their journey of faith, not just when they walk through the door for the first time. And of course, churches sometimes can perhaps be not so hospitably safe. Many people move churches because they don't feel happy for one reason or another. Some people give up church altogether because they didn't find it an hospitable or safe place. The thing is, sometimes as Christians, our theology on a few things can be a bit dodgy. And sometimes we can be a bit pastorally insensitive, which means that people can get hurt. I've mentioned before I used to work at Acorn Christian Healing. And one of the things they would say, that they were a safe place for people seeking healing. And you'd think, why would you have to say that, that you're a safe place? You kind of think, wouldn't that be taken as read? But a lot of the people who went there had been hurt in churches by well-meaning Christians who, as I say, had theology that was a bit dodgy, or were from people who were a bit pastorally insensitive. They will be told things like, you need to pray more or harder for your own healing. Which is interesting, because if you think about all the stories you can think of in the Bible about when people are healed, how many people are healed when they pray for themselves, and how many people are healed when someone else prays for them? I'm guessing you're probably trying to struggle with who got healed when they prayed for themselves. I could think of one example, but without actually looking it up, I was struggling. When we think of people getting healed, that's what happens. Other people pray for them. Church should be hospitably safe, not just at the door when we welcome people in, but throughout their time with us. And we need to think carefully about how we deal with one another so that we are hospitable and safe for everyone. We need to be engaged with communities. In John 2 it says, Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 litres. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Jesus, as our example, was actively engaged with communities. In fact, it seems when you read through the Gospels a lot of the time that Jesus was either on his way to a meal, he was having a meal, or he was on his way somewhere else from having had a meal. Most of Jesus' interactions in the Gospels don't take place in the synagogue on a Saturday. They take place out in the everyday world. Jesus was engaged with communities. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a chap called Ben Lucas, who is a pioneer mission. And you might wonder, what's one of those? Well, he's a Baptist minister who's effectively a missionary in this country. And 2 years ago, he went to a village in Dorset, which has no church. And his job is to go and meet people in the community, get to know them, listen to them, and at the same time, listen to what God is doing and get involved. And Ben and his wife have become engaged in their local community, such that they seem to be part and parcel of it now after 2 years, and actively involved. As a result of this, some strange things happened. You remember last year was the centenary of the First World War? So the village, some people decided in the village it would be a good idea to buy a bench as an act of remembrance, to remember the First World War. And because they knew that Ben was a Baptist minister, they asked him to bless the bench, which might seem an odd thing for folk to do. That turned into actually holding a remembrance service around a bench. At the end of which, some people came up to Ben and said, would you like to organize and lead a carol service? And Ben said yes, but they wanted an atheist carol service. So Ben was a bit flummoxed by this because he wasn't too sure what an atheist carol service looked like. And they said, well, it'd be okay to sing things like Little Donkey and Away in a Manger. And he said, well, would it be okay to sing Hark the Herald Angels and Once in Royal David City? And they said, yes, that'd be fine too. And he said, would it be okay to read the Christmas story? And they said, yeah, that would be fine too. Turns out that an atheist service is one that doesn't have a long sermon. And there was a reason for it, is because in the past, a couple of churches had tried to plant a church in that village. Neither had been successful, but as part of it, they had held community carols, which a few people had gone to, and the minister decided to preach a 45-minute sermon. And as a result, they definitely knew what they didn't want, even if they were a bit unsure about what they did want. 150 people turned up to their community carol service. We need to be engaged with our communities. And as part of that, we need to be able to articulate our faith confidently. Jesus said in Acts that we would be his witnesses. And the thing is, we'll always be his witnesses. The question is whether we're going to be good witnesses or bad witnesses. We'll always be witnesses. It's whether we're good or bad. So we need to think about how we can articulate our faith and do it well. Sharing our own story first. Sharing our life with Jesus. Plurality. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. When it comes to leadership in church, you'll notice that in the New Testament, whenever it refers to church leaders, it's almost always in the plural and not the singular. Church leaders, plural. And here, Jesus gives a place to women when Mary Magdalene is the first who bears witness to Jesus' resurrection. It's now 100 years since the Baptist Union ordained their first lady Baptist minister. Baptist churches have long been a place for ladies in leadership. Training and transformation, culture and practice. This sounds an odd one, doesn't it? But Jesus said this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." A healthy church is one that bears fruit. You can think about what that means, bearing fruit. What kind of fruit should a church bear? Well, it should be a place where we are changed by Jesus. That might mean the work of the Holy Spirit. It might mean learning new things. But it's something that has to affect us in our own lives. Are we being pruned? Every branch that is fruitful gets pruned. It's the unfruitful ones that never get pruned. Are we fruitful? Are we bearing fruit? I was talking to Ben, who I mentioned a while ago. He was telling us another story about what was happening in the village where he was. And he was saying he met, as he went round the village, a family of Mormons. And when he goes round, he carries his contact details all the time and he gives them to everyone. And says, "If you ever need to, you can contact me." And that's what they did. They rang him up one day and said, "We feel that there is a cloud hanging over our house. Would you come and pray for us?" So he went round to their house and prayed. And the result was that four of them became Christians. It's an odd story from an odd place in odd circumstances. But it's bearing fruit, and we too need to bear fruit. Helping and being helped. This is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Generally speaking, as Christians, I think we try and be helpful. But the question is do we try and be helpful on our terms? Are we helpful when it's convenient to us, as opposed to giving help when it's convenient to other people? How good are we at being helpful? Sometimes do we assume that people need help and give it when they don't really want it? Do we say to people, "Do you need help with that?" Which implies that we've already decided that they do need help. Or do we say to them, "Would you like a hand with that?" It's not just about helping, but about the way we offer help sometimes. But more difficult than helping is often being helped. We don't like to think that we need help. We'd all like to think that we can control our own lives and do everything that we want to do. It's really the essence of sin, that we want to control our own lives and live it without God. And it spills over into everyday life, where often we do need help, but we just don't want to say so. And even if people offer help, we can be reluctant to take it. We need to learn how to accept help as well as to give it in the right way. And the last one here, the why. A Trinitarian God who is in and through all ages and backgrounds. Genesis 1:27 says, "God created humans in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." This actually moves us back almost in full circle to the top one about being hospitably safe. Do we recognize God in everyone? No matter what their background or their life choices, would we recognize that everybody is made in the image of God? There is something of God in everyone, no matter who they are or what they've done. And if we're going to be hospitably safe place to be, then we would have to be people who recognize and accept everyone, regardless of their background or their life choices. God is not just in everyone in a particular way, but of course he's for everyone as well. Jesus came to die to bring salvation to everyone, not to just those who might be slightly better than the rest. And so we need to be able to accept that everyone is made in God's image, that Jesus died for everyone, and be that hospitably safe place for everyone, not just for people like us. It's easy to get on when everyone's like us and everyone agrees with us. It's much more difficult when people are different, come from a different point of view. Hospitably safe, engage with communities, articulating faith confidently, leader plurality, training and transformation, culture and practice, helping and being helped, and a Trinitarian God who is in and through all ages and backgrounds. Healthy churches. Let's pray together. Father, you know what a healthy church should be like. We ask that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us, that you would make us, Lord, a healthy church, that we would be a church that bears much fruit, a church, Lord, that would be accepting of everyone, a church that would be hospitable and safe for everyone, that we would share our faith, that we would be engaged in our community, that we would use the gifts that you have given in our leadership to bring leaders forward, Lord, in all areas of the life of the church. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would transform us and make us like Jesus. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.